Yes, indeed, WTIC Budget Day. The governor doing his budget speech, 860-522-9842. Are you encouraged by his take charge, we've got to cut spending approach? No, you're right. That was a joke. Chad Canterbury. Hi, Chad.
Hey, how you doing today, Todd?
Doing well. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm laughing at is he's not going to generate anything because everyone's going to use the back roads on the tolls to get around them if they can. I live in the quiet corner, so I'm like literally right between Mass and Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. I'll just buy my soda and groceries in Rhode Island and Mass. I avoid the bag tax. I avoid the sugary drink tax, all of that stuff.
Yeah, everybody who has the option will certainly do that.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing that kills me, I travel all over the country. I'm actually counting down the days till I get out of this state. I got like 3.5 years. Once my daughter's out of high school, I'm out of here. But I've gone all over the country. Everything they do is by county in the other states. We
yes.
do everything by town and by state government.
Yeah, because they got rid of the counties a long time ago.
Yeah, I think one of the great, I think, ideas that they could maybe dust off and look at to save the state money would have a county system take over for a lot of the state and the towns.
Well, they're looking to do that with regionalization, but now going in that direction comes with its own problems. Ken in Bristol, thank you for the call, Chad. Hi, Ken.
Yeah, hi, Todd. I had a thought. I'm not a genius, but I think there is a solution to the problem. We have to get rid of the clown show that is the state government. If you turn around, you look at private corporations, what normally happens if there's a downturn in their business? They'll get rid of employees. Now, there's a way to do it, even with state unions. You lay them off. General Motors can lay off people. Why can't we do that with the state of Connecticut?
We will as soon as we elect some responsible people.
Well, I think we need to put a referendum, in front of the people of the state. If you take a look at the state of Connecticut, what is the biggest union in the state of Connecticut? Would it be like the state unions, or is it, they are the ones who, Teamsters. Teamsters unions.
No, I think
why should the state have us under control? Is state government a Politburo that controls everything?
Well,
I think they actually act as such.
Yeah, and in a sense, with the scheme that was devised with unions, it allowed them to circumvent the people and make their own deals with the unions. And we just pay for it. Ken, thank you for the call. Interesting ideas. WTIC, reaction from all over the place we are getting for you, including your reaction on WTIC to the governor's budget rollout today. What do you think? Let's go to Bill next on WTIC. Hi, Bill. Hello, Bill.
I'm here. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I'm the state representative for New Milford, the 67th district, and I've been listening to your show since I left the Capitol a little bit ago, and I have to tell you, some great ideas are popping up. It's been a very frustrating day for all of us up in the Capitol, too.
What, any standout frustration?
Pretty much the standout frustration was the governor's speech. How's that? The concern in a lot of this is it's a lot of the same. It's deja vu all over again for us. The only difference I would say from Governor Lamont to Governor Malloy is Governor Malloy wanted to raise our taxes, or Lamont doesn't want to raise the actual percentage of the taxes.
Bill? We're having some signal problems. Too bad. All right, let's go to, we're going to take more calls in a few minutes. Bob Stefanowski is checking in, the former Republican nominee for governor. What reactions did you have, Robert? Your mind must have been racing today.
Well, I had low expectations going in, but he exceeded my low expectations. Let's put the last week in perspective. He took one of his most fundamental campaign promises that he wasn't going to put up tolls on cars, and he lied to the taxpayers, and he lied to the voters. And then when he changed his mind, he dumped it. Rather than coming forward and talking to people, he dumped it on a Saturday morning editorial on a 3-day weekend. That's number one. Today, you got to put today in perspective. Today, he introduced one of the largest tax increases in the history of the state of Connecticut. Despite, again, a campaign promise saying he wasn't going to raise taxes, when you add up the tolls and you add up the expansion of the sales tax, this is one of the top three highest tax increases in our entire state.
So he's going after
any spending whatsoever.
He's going after Governor Malloy's record.
He is. He's Dan Malloy 2.0. And think about it, Todd. If you know, there's a lot of your viewers that have credit card bills and things. If you're trying to balance your budget, what's the first thing you do? You don't go to your neighbor and say, I'm going to keep spending, give me $1,000. You look at your own costs. And I don't know why this Democratic legislature and this governor refuses to look at their cost base. That's the first place you should go.
It is an incredible thing. I mean, there's just no discussion about what could be done to scale back some spending. It's the big elephant that is always filling that room.
Well, you got to, you know, he claims he ran a business before. When you're running a business, the first thing you do is look in your own backyard. What has he done? He created a new position called COO, and he's paying that person $150,000 a year. And at the time, he said, I'll find savings elsewhere. He paid his new Department of Transportation $200,000 a year. His attorney general is riding around in a brand new SUV with a security detail. He had a campaign promise, Governor Lamont. He wasn't going to use the state transportation. He said a Jeep Cherokee is fine for him.
He had an ad. He had a whole ad about it.
This is therapeutic for me, Todd, because I'm venting. You know, there's times in your life where you say, I told you so, that you're not happy that it came true. This is one of them. Because he did exactly what he's doing, exactly what he all feared. I think the only bright side, I think the past week, he's ruined his entire 4 years in office. I think he's killed any sense of credibility he has as the new governor right now, and he did it amazingly quickly.
Regarding what you just said, listen to this.
Okay, I can still hear it. Come on, Governor, cut more now.
He was already self-conscious about the idea that he was a businessman and he's supposed to take a business approach.
I come from business, but unlike business, I can't just say to patients on the road to recovery at the Department of Mental Health or to kids in crisis at DCF, I can't pay the bills. I can't tell the elderly that there's no room at the inn. I can't simply shut down an underperforming department.
You hear that, Stefanowski? It's not so easy.
Well, this is what the Democrats are very good at, tugging at your heartstrings. What he doesn't talk about, for example, is the Board of Regents, which has an $800 million budget, which is an administrative body that sits across and above all the community colleges. You could get rid of that tomorrow and get rid of $800 million, but the Democrats are very good at ignoring the facts and pulling on your heartstrings. And I'll tell you, Todd, it's just, I'm beside myself today. After listening to that speech, that between lying to the voters and his budget increase costs for the next 2 years.
All right, hold on 1 second, Bob. We'll wrap up after we had a traffic and weather in. 860-522-9842. Bob Stefanowski is here for another moment, and then we'll take some calls. All right, this is Bob Stefanowski at his best when he's all wound up and feels like there's some justice in the world because of the injustice that the Democrats and Ned Lamont are inflicting on the state. At least because it proves you were right all that time. You said what he was going to do. You told people what would happen, and he didn't. Well, he lied about it.
And it's just a lack of leadership, Todd. I took a deep breath during the break. But, I was quiet for a while. But when he came out on Saturday and broke a fundamental campaign promise, that was it for me. And it just gets worse and worse. I don't know how he can begin to be effective going forward because you can't trust what he says. He's just all over the board. The only thing we can do is, you know, we've got a special election coming up next Tuesday. People need to get out and vote for that. And there's a great grassroots organization called NoTollCT.org. They're having a rally in Stamford. I'm going to be there Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in front of the government building. We can complain about it all day, but the real question is, what are we going to do to change it? And I think in a respectful but forceful way, we need to let people know we're still out here.
Well, that's a really good point. And by the way, people can also call the the Senate and the House in Hartford and make known in the way that you just said, Bob. Be polite, but be firm. Tell them you're unhappy. Call the Senate Democrats at 800-842-1420. 800-842-1420. Call the House Democrats at 800-842-1902. Bob Stefanowski, good to talk with you, sir.
Thanks for having me on, Todd. Have a good day.
All righty. Bob, of course, the Republican nominee for governor last year. 860-522-9842. Sherrick, calling from Hartford. Hello, sir.
Hi, Mr. Feinberg. How are you?
I'm very good.
Well, you know, as a former state employee, I like the your caller's joke about the Trail of Tears. You know,
I'm tier two,
so for example. Anyway, but the thing you didn't, I mean, you know, nobody is ever going to be satisfied with the state of the budget address. Believe me, nobody. If Republicans were in power for the last 30, 40 years before Malloy, we didn't like it, and nobody else did. But thing you didn't mention that he's going to get rid of a BET tax. He's going to get rid. He's going to borrow less. And he did mention, as Mr. Stefanowski's question, he did mention tolls during his campaign, but not the cars and everything else. But he didn't mention tolls. I mean, he those kind of things. I just would like to bring it out. And the other caller who said we got rid of the state government and get the state and the businesses is so good. That's fine. Okay. But the thing is, the recent budget crisis, which almost brought the whole United States to the brink, was caused by the businesses, not by the state employees or the federal employees, you know.
Well, it's a regulated industry, Wall Street. Everybody says we need more regulation. That's a federally controlled enterprise. So if
it's because of their lending and greed and everything.
It's a rigged system, according to Bernie Sanders, and the rigging is between the politicians business.
You're quoting the biggest socialist of them all.
I always quote Bernie because I felt that his language about the rigging in the last election cycle, that was defining language. That resonated for people on a much larger scale. People understand that our society is rigged now. And the way it gets rigged is wealthy people leverage politicians. So Bernie talked about how we have to make bigger government, give more power to the politicians in response to this rigging, which, of course, was a direct contradiction. That would only give more power to the politicians to sell us out, more power for them to do what they've done to Connecticut, and that is to destroy the state's economy. So every problem that we want to solve is one that is under the thumb of government. Every problem. I would love, if you can think of one that government hasn't created, I would love to hear about it. But in my mind, every single problem that we have in our society is one that is being driven by government. Government gets involved, it makes things bad, and then it says, you need more of us. We've got to run in there. The only problem is we just don't have enough control over it. But it's usually their intervention that creates the problem in the first place. Michelle is in Waterbury next. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I listened to Romano, and I thought everything he said was great. I just wonder where he was prior to the elections. I'm very disappointed with the governor's speech, but I'm more disappointed with the weak Republican Party that we have here in Connecticut. I think they didn't try hard, and I don't like them using the old excuse, well, it was a referendum on Trump. I think they didn't go out there and do the footwork and do the supporting that they should have done, and they ought to be starting right now. What he did on your radio show, it should be a weekly thing. They got to go out there. And even Bob Stefanowski, I mean, I voted for him, but he was MIA in a lot of places. Every time Mark Davis did interviews or whatever, he would say, I couldn't find Bob Stefanowski.
It's true. He's confessed he made a mistake, and he was staying at the home office, raising money and doing the things he needed to do to finance a campaign. And I think that's a regret he has, that he listened to other people instead of trusting his own instincts.
Even on the local level, like the state representatives, I had the Democrats knocking on my door, and if I wasn't here, they left cards with their numbers on it.
No, you're right.
The Republicans.
You're right, Michelle. The Republicans are not nearly as big. They're not as organized. They're not as powerful, and we suffer for that. But it's part of what happens when there's a one-party system in a state, and it, you know, gets worse because of the weakness. Betty, you're next. Hi, Betty.
Oh, well, thank you for taking me, Todd. It's so hard to try to get all the thoughts together with all the people you have on. Your show is incredible. You make people want to call you. It was so good to hear Bob get back on, and he does have a sense of humor. I told your screener that I really wanted to do a reaction to the budget, you know, speech today. Mm. But it's really a reaction, if I may, to Jeff's call and also Jay's call. And the last woman was awesome, too, because I feel the same way.
Yeah, I've only got 30 seconds, so.
Okay, quickly, we have a chance to make a difference. We can protest respectfully. We can be out there with signs. And we can also vote next Tuesday on a special election, which is costing the taxpayers money. Mm-hmm. Don't vote Democrat. Okay, I'm tired of seeing the same signs.
No, that's a great reminder.
It would be a shot, to use the governor's term, that would be heard in Hartford, and the people would say, "What's going on?" Especially in West Hartford, where it's all Democrat. If someone other than a Democrat, like, can I say a name?
Sure.
Derek Slapp. If you see who he is, I'm not.
Is that
sure,
Manchester?
Slapp. S-L-A-P-P.
Yeah, in Manchester.
Slapp. No, in West Hartford.
West Hartford, okay, I'm sorry.
Yes, and listen,
I'm sorry, Betty, I've got to go to a traffic update.
You're so good.
You are terrific. Please call back early and often. WTIC. I forgot to tell you that the members of the Conservative Caucus, mostly members of the House, went into the joint session today to hear the governor, and they were all carrying big gulps. A little pushback on the idea of the nanny tax. The nanny state, the expansion of government, this idea put forth by the governor and Democrats in general that people just can't get by without government taking care of us and making decisions for us on our health, on our just every aspect of our lives. It's quite incredible. 860-522-9842. And by the way, totally antithetical to the notion of America, in which the government is supposed to stay far away from us and only intervene when required to and specifically authorized to. George in Meriden. Hi, George.
Todd, how are you?
Hello, George.
Hey, how are you? I just can barely hear you, but just wanted to, good show. Just wanted to make a couple of general points in the statement.
Good.
And actually ask a question. The thing that I've learned getting as old as I have, I'm 58, is, you know, that old saying, he who will not learn from history is doomed to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you always hit unions and you hit big government and you, mm-hmm. and regulation. And
yes.
I'm just asking this as a question.
Okay.
Now, suppose big business wasn't nice and just treated people like crap and did rotten things without being regulated, what voice would the average guy have if it wasn't for unions or
well, that's a really fair question. The reason we have government is because there are times when we need its protection. The brilliance of our founders was they understood that this was a pact with the devil, that every little inch you give to the government to have control over something that they will take miles and miles and miles. We are now in a situation in this country where the state is not being destroyed economically by business. Business is leaving because the state is destroying the state economically. State government is. So you're on the other end of the question, but it's a reasonable question. It's just not where we are now. The problem this country has a brilliant dynamic economy because of the brilliance of what capitalism does, and we're just being ruined by the size of government. Yeah, I'm sorry to be so long-winded. Go ahead.
No, I that was valuable. I appreciate that. But I mean, I can give you an example, like Walmart. Okay, there's people that I didn't realize this until I took a couple of courses at Tunksys, but there's people that work about, you know, way over just full time and still are at Walmart.
And why are they working there then?
They pay what they want, and they're eligible for food stamps.
But George, why does the government give food stamps to people who have a job?
Than they need.
What?
You know what I mean?
What's that?
I don't think they hire one more person than they need.
Well, they would be stupid if they did.
And people got off the dole. Wouldn't that be a good thing?
George, can you hold on? This is a really interesting conversation. We'll continue in a couple minutes if you have time. 860-522-9842. Walmart is a lousy example because every time they open a store, there's a line of people coming in from out of state to apply for jobs. WTIC. What? George, you left. I can't believe it. Oh, I was so looking forward to continuing that conversation. So that was good pushback from George. Yes, business can sometimes be an ugly special interest group, right? Business gets big, and it can be destructive at times. But there's nothing business can do to be as destructive as government, because business is always creating jobs. And these tropes about Walmart, what Walmart does nothing wrong. They get fights for over people wanting to work there. We will know when Walmart is a bad employer. We will know when they are forced to change a policy because of a shortage of available workers. That does not happen because they pay enough, or you could argue they pay too much, because you really don't find out what the right amount of pay is until you start losing out on workers you need. So Walmart's not doing anything wrong. If there's a problem in your mind, because, and I agree with you, that people who are making, who are taking low-wage jobs shouldn't have to, they shouldn't have to also be on benefits. They should be able to, they should be powerful enough in the marketplace. Everybody who's gotten an education and can handle themselves appropriately in the world and has a close to average intellect should be able to get a good job. Why can't they? There's only one cause for that, and that's that they haven't got a good enough education to command a decent salary in the marketplace. Whose job is it to educate people so they can do the most basic sorts of jobs and do and excel in life? That is government, which runs the public schools. So again, I promise you, every time you raise an issue, I can show you how it is the government that's made the mess that it's telling you you need government to fix. 860-522-9842. Next, we go to Jim in Southington. Hello, Jim.
How you doing? Three quick points. All the people that hate Walmart, they love the $8.99 shirts.
Walmart is the best store. Yeah. It is the best. I love that place.
I don't know if somebody picked up on this, but the emperor, was when he was talking about his speech and everything, said he was going to put together a department to save insurance payments, and they would only pay a certain amount of money. So if a CAT scan is $4,000, the state of Connecticut has just told the insurance companies they're going to pay X amount on that. That. I don't know if anybody picked up on that. I thought that was really, really eye-opening.
Explain why you think that's eye-opening. Well, because they're trying to cap. They're doing price fixing, basically.
Right.
So that's a really good point. This is why we are in the situation we're in with healthcare. A big reason why is because government became the largest buyer of healthcare services many years ago because of all these social programs. And then they did that, what you just described. They shortchanged the providers, and the providers have to raise our fees to make up for the fact that the government doesn't pay them what they need.
Or they leave the state. The third point. I called you a long time ago on Len Vasano when he was there, and I told him back in October that if he didn't get Trump involved in the primary or the final election, that he was going to eat toast. I think Len Vasano is the one person that really needs to get out of this Republican Party, because he is nothing more than a condescending, incompetent boob. And I am so upset that as soon as somebody starts talking about taxes, he's waving the flag and telling everybody that, you know, he's going to come to our rescue. He hasn't done squat. And I'm almost going to say the same thing about your Stefanowski, because I did vote for him. And I'm just so sick and tired of all these people come crying after the fact when they didn't do their due diligence before the election. Stefanowski was horrible. Len Fasano was horrible. Nobody was there to push it over the top. And now we're dealing with another large tax increase and everyone's crying.
Well, you're right. There was utter failure on the Republican side. It was a complicated year. Bob is a beginner. He thought he ran a great campaign. He learned a lesson. He thought he did everything right. He thought he listened to the right people, but he was a beginner. Fasano, on the other hand, you know, there is a leadership void. It would be nice if Len would step into it, but that would require that he go on the attack and be aggressively expressing alternative values and conservative values rather than going along. So we'll see if he rises. Somebody's got to step into the void. There's a big void in the state.
I hope so. I really do.
Jim, it's great to hear from you. I understand your frustration, and I share your frustration. I don't know if you heard yesterday, but that's what we talked about, basically, is where is the person? Who is the person? And maybe that's what Bob Stefanowski is doing. Maybe that's why he's asserting himself right now, is he understands, he sees that void, and he wants to fill it. Oh, yes. I remember this song well, and I love it still. It's just the right mood, isn't it? Fired up, electric guitars is what we have playing in our nerves. Greg in Glastonbury, thanks for your patience.
No problem. Todd, I just wanted to share my 30 years life experience as a small businessman and simply say, somewhat applying to the minimum wage and to the economy as a whole, I've never had anybody that really needed a job with my company.
You've never had somebody who needed the job?
I just never needed the job.
What do you mean by that? You mean they all could have retired?
Well, no. I mean, working as a small contractor, you see all the different faces, and I don't know where they would be going to, but when they would leave, they would smile, and they would go somewhere else. So for 30 years, I had this revolving door of trying to get steady people in. There was even a time where we were running the company trucks, trying to give salary, even tried to reach to the health insurance package. I just never had anybody that really needed a job. And finally, in 2008, when the bottom fell out of the economy, I sold off the trucks and went to working by myself. And that strategy has worked out really great for me. Unfortunately, for the economy as a whole, I'm not down at the local dealerships buying trucks.
Yep.
Or down
so,
buying
so what,
tools.
So why is that better for you, being a solo act, rather than managing employees and having to do all the payroll and those kinds of things?
Well, first of all, there's what's called in the small business the 5 and 25 rule, and that is you definitely want to have 5 or less employees, or you want to jump to 25 and more. Because you're too big and too small in between.
So under 5 allows you to escape some of the most burdensome regulation and requirements from the government, I'm guessing. And over 25, you have enough momentum going. You've got enough cash flowing that you can cope with the burdens the government puts on you.
Correct. So when you just look from a business standpoint, it's, well, what am I bringing home for my family? It started to make more sense to get smaller and smaller until suddenly I'm working alone and I'm making some very good money, and it's simple and better, except again, nobody else benefits from it. So
yeah, well, that's how big government kills economic activity. And that's what
the point I'm driving to.
Yeah. So that's what we're suffering from. You've given us a great example of how it happens. They've created an environment in which you want to hide and just be left alone to produce economic activity, which is your great contribution to society. You're not one of those evil businessmen they try to portray you as being. You're a guy doing what life calls on you to do. And government's job is to make it easier on you, not to crush you. But
absolutely,
that's not what's going on in this state.
So in regards to the employment, I'll just give you two examples. And when I would advertise, unfortunately, so many of the people that would answer it would be union people just trying to fill in a gap and then leave, which, of course, would leave me nowhere. And then the last one was a very interesting one, and it happened last year where I was in a city working near a subsidized living area, and I was right on the road, so very visible. And some kids from that subsidized area took a curiosity to me, actually came and befriended me, until at this one point over a couple days, one of them approached me for a job. And as politely as I could, I knew my answer was, no, I'm just simply done with employing people. I said to him, you know, give me your name and number. Maybe something will come up. And he said, okay, but I have to tell you that if I do work, you got to give me cash because you can't mess up the benefits that I get.
Oh, stop it. That's terrible. All right, Greg, that was an excellent call. Thank you for that. That's what a terrible story. 860-522-9842. And yet one that we need to hear. Off to Waterbury we go. Steve is next. Hey, Steve.
Hey, well, never mind. Todd, how you doing? Hey, you know, Steve, it's going to be a nice day tomorrow, nice and warm and windy, you said. And perhaps it'd be a good time for Mr. Lamont to go fly a kite. What do you think?
It's a lot of the silly stuff that's so destructive to our society, and Democrats can't stop doing what they do.
Right. I got three quick points and three topics and 7.5 points to make. Walmart already has a machine that will go clean the floors and do inventory. So it's one way of cutting down staff. So if they decide to raise, you know, the minimum wage, I'm sure that a lot of places are going to be dealing with that. Costco, on the other hand, would rather have one good employee versus three mediocre ones, and they pay them well for, you know, what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as adding a tax to sugary drinks, you know, it's no harm and not easy or hard to do to add sugar, just like when we used to make Kool-Aid or lemonade or coffee. It's easy to do that if they want to tax that. But getting on to the tolls. Now, Lamont originally mentioned he was hoping to get like $200 million from the trucks, right?
$250 million, yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Well, now that he feels that he can't do it, they're looking at $1 billion for everything. Why can't they just lower the tolls and still shoot for that $2.5 million? That's point number one.
Well, that's a great point, and demonstrates that the whole thing is a lie.
Right. Now, the other part of that is, I think if we were to do a demonstration maybe once a month, maybe once a week or whatever, get truckers involved, and just avoid all the highways and go through the cities and towns and everything, even if it takes longer, whatever, you know, just to show them what very well could happen, that we mean business, that we don't want these tolls.
Oh, wouldn't that be a glorious thing if everybody just sits in deadlock traffic on side roads and leaves the highways empty when the tolls go in?
Can you do a poll with your listeners, maybe, to see what they think about that? Maybe we can get something going.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Thank you for that, Steve. Good to hear from you. Yeah, Steve says, why not protest and show them how we feel? Listen, I've got to play this cut again of Ned Lamont, because I just think it's pathetic. Really embarrassing. I assume he knows it's pathetic, and he understands that because he's a Democrat, he has to talk like this.
A $15 minimum wage enacted responsibly and over time will raise wages for almost a third of our workforce, a third of whom are female workers. 40% are African-American. Half are Hispanic. Let's give them a shot.
Let's give them a shot. Democrats control the lives of the poor, of the urban poor. They control the neighborhoods, the violent neighborhoods they live in. They control the police department they protest against. They control the schools that fail to educate. It's remarkable that they never get busted on this.